Well, we've heard today from a song from Tanzania, sung in Swahili. We've seen a report of a children's camp in Moldova. Who'd heard of Moldova before? Of course we have, yes. We've prayed for the village, our link village in Kenya. We've thought about John off to Bangladesh. And actually, we're going to listen to Colossians now. In our home group studies, we've been following a booklet that's been written by an Australian, studying a letter that was written in Greek nearly 2,000 years ago. One World Week. We are like one big global village nowadays, aren't we? So we're looking at the concluding verses from Colossians chapter 4. Faith active in the world. And we can divide this passage into three sections. There's a section about prayer. Be alert in prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Wrestle in prayer, Paul writes. And then he talks about our proclamation of the gospel. Let your conversation be seasoned with salt. And then lastly, the bit that we would tend to miss over as we're reading a letter, those list of names, point out the fact that we are in partnership. We aren't just solitary individual Christians. We're working together. I want to think about what I consider to be the heart of this passage, verses 2 to 6. We've had them read already, but let me read them again. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let's imagine that we had received these words personally written to us by the Apostle Paul as his recommendation for us here at Highfield 2,000 years later. Let's meditate on a few of these words. Proclaim clearly. The mystery of Christ. Being wise. In your actions. Towards outsiders. Communicate with grace. Salty grace. Prayer. Epaphras, always wrestling in prayer for you. That's how he's described in verse 12. Prayer can be hard work. It's not something that comes naturally or spontaneously, this type of prayer. There's a need to be conscious and deliberate about our prayers. We can think of all the needs around the world, but how about a few needs close to hand here in this nation? The man in the picture is a Nigerian. He's a doctor, a medical doctor. He thought he was going to visit this country just for a few months. He stayed many, many years, and now is no longer practicing medicine, but he's a pastor of a large black church in London. And he has written a letter to every leader, church leader in the country. It's been widely disseminated. And he writes, I'm going to quote some of the things he says. Great Britain, once a missionary powerhouse of the world, now stands at a crossroads. As a nation, she has drifted far from the boundaries of her father's anchorage, a ship at the mercy of strong sea currents, adrift from her moorings. As a Nigerian, he would be the first to say how appreciative he has been of missionaries from this country going to his and bringing the good news. But now the situation is reversed. This is a missionary nation. There are 26 million Anglicans in Nigeria alone. Way, way more than there are in this country. Jonathan writes this, there is no lack of busy Marthas in the church, but the spirit of Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus, simply to hear, is scarce, an endangered species. We're overwhelmed with busyness and activities, but there is the place, not just to wrestle in prayer and intercession, but to kneel at the Master's feet, simply to hear him speak to us. I took this picture on a beach, I think it was near Swanage. A pile of stones reminded me of the altars that people used to build in Old Testament times to commemorate an encounter with God. And this is what he writes in his letter, Jonathan. Many private altars are dusty, dry, and desolate. Come back to your private altars, repair them, and offer again the sacrifices of thanksgiving, supplication, and intercession. God wants daily sacrifice from all his people to repent of our busyness and repair the prayer altar of our lives. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. The Church of Britain needs to kneel before the Lord in submission, so that she does not bow before the enemy in defeat. This weekend, a significant weekend, as many of you will recall, this is the 40th anniversary of David Steele's private member's bill, which legalized abortion in this country, since which time 6.7 million children have their lives snuffed out. Earlier in the year, we were commemorating the 200th anniversary of the abolition of slavery. I imagine in a few decades from now, people in this nation will regard with the same abhorrence and horror as we do slavery now, the evil that takes place under the name of abortion. This is not to condemn those who find themselves in the terrible plight which drives them to that decision, but just a commentary on the fact that we have chosen a path that is so destructive and so harmful, and is indicative of the spiritual nature of our country at this time. We have need to pray for our nation, as indeed we pray for others around the world. Proclamation is the second theme of this passage in chapter 4. Jan and I have just come back from Greece. We've been following in the footsteps of St. Paul on his second missionary journey. We landed in Thessaloniki in the north, and over about 1,000 kilometres we took in various sites that Paul would have visited. Now, Colossae is in modern-day Turkey, But the places in Greece that we visited weren't that dissimilar, the city, Greek city-states that Paul visited. This is a picture of the Parthenon in Athens. It wasn't far from here that Paul spoke on Mars Hill. And the thing that impressed Jan and I was that Paul was very much the innocent going into the lion's den. This was a sophisticated society, highly educated people who had temples and worshipped all manner of deities. And he reasons, he debates, he quotes Greek poets to support his arguments. But the thing that impressed me was his society wasn't that dissimilar from our own. We don't have pagan temples, but we do have shopping malls like West Quay. And we do worship other deities. We call them by different names. But the things that our society idolizes are just as much mountains and obstacles to the gospel as those that Paul faced. And therefore we need the same courage if we are going to be, if our conversation is going to be seasoned with salt towards those who are outside us. It's not an easy thing to share the gospel in this day and age, as it was indeed hard for Paul to do in his society. Which is why we need one another. The last section of this passage I've called partnership. And Paul gives us these lists of brothers, those who've been faithful partners. Tychicus, beloved brother, faithful servant, fellow slave in the Lord. Onesimus, faithful and beloved brother. Aristarchus, fellow prisoner, with Paul in house arrest in Rome. Mark, Barnabas's cousin. Jesus, called Justus, fellow workers for the kingdom of God. Epaphras, slave of Jesus Christ. Luke, beloved physician. Demas, Nymphas, Archippus. I wonder what we would like on our tombstone. Would it be slave of Jesus Christ, faithful workers of the kingdom of God, dearly beloved brother? It's quite a thought, isn't it? Paul was not some isolated individual doing his own thing, going around the world sharing the good news. He was part of a team. He was so dependent upon others for their prayers and involvement, their financial support on occasions, their fellowship, their encouragement. And I think if we are to go out into the world and share the good news of Jesus with others, then we need strong encouragement, such as we would receive on a Sunday morning, such as this, such as we receive in a small midweek home group. Colossians 4, prayer, proclamation, and partnership. Father, we pray that you would help us to intercede, to proclaim the good news of Jesus, and to work alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.